Hey, welcome to the Life 2.0 podcast. I'm John St. Augustine. Glad to have you joining me from anywhere and everywhere on planet Earth. Time to go up the down staircase in the outdoor. Make sense out of the senseless. And if at all possible, let's find the obvious buried in the absurd. Let's get to it. Thanks for joining me on the Saturday edition of the Life 2.0 podcast. Really excited because whenever I had a chance to talk with a guest, Marcia Kimpton's going to be joining me just a little bit later in the show, I get a little extra jacked up on this end. For the most part, in my 25 years of radio, I've done everything solo. I've never had a partner. I've talked to thousands of people as guests, but it wasn't until I did the Bridge Show this past year in Washington, New York, and in Beijing, China, that I had to work with other people. So after doing that for a year straight, I kind of was pulling myself back on talking with guests because I have to readjust myself a little bit. Otherwise, if I just follow the same protocol I did with the Bridge, you'd only hear me half the time. The rest would be dead air. That's a no-no in radio. Anyway, I really am glad to have you joining me, especially those people who sponsor the show. Thanks so much for sticking with me. And, you know, for $20 a month, are you kidding me? It's like the price of a pizza in Chicago. You get all this and more. How could you go wrong?
Sisters, round the planet. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Come on now.
You know, I'm a huge fan of Playing for Change. They're an incredible organization, worldwide organization. Mark Johnson, the co-founder, and I've had several conversations about their work in the world on and off the air. And they take these amazing covers like Love Train from 1973 with the OJs, who were actually in that audio you just heard. Also, Jason Mraz and Chad Smith. What you heard in the beginning part, that the opening was Yo-Yo Ma doing this YouTube thing. It was so great. And I think I heard a little trombone shorty at the end as well. But what Playing for Change does and what they're all about is raising awareness with music. And I just, you know, every time they come up with something, they've redone so many great classics. The Weight by the Band, Take Me Home Country Roads by John Denver. You just heard Love Train, Everyday People by Sly and the Family Stone. The amazing work that they do. So I'm highly urging you to do a couple things. One is when you get a chance to go to YouTube and find the Playing for Change channel and watch those videos. Incredible. And the second thing, which I've done and have done for the last couple of years, is I'm a supporter of Playing for Change. I'm a patron of what they do. It's like $50 or $100 a year. And all that money helps put music into schools around the world that otherwise would not have it. I mean, that's how we help change the world. There's a lot of shit going on in the headlines that I can't do a damn thing about. But when I have this hour with you 4, 5, 6 times a month, I try to do something to have conversation to raise awareness about our place in all of this. And Playing for Change absolutely knows what they're up to. But enough of all that. I'm so very excited. Marcia Kimpton has been patiently waiting on hold. She's a writer, a director, a producer, an actress based in Aspen, Colorado, one of my favorite towns, after living many years in New York City, San Francisco, and L.A. And she knows the ins and out of the industry and the entertainment business like very few people. She's very successful with her Bardo Blues. We're going to talk about American Abroad and an event she has coming up here just outside of Chicago in Highland Park next Tuesday. And Marcia joins me. I've never had a guest on from St. Bart's before.
Well, yeah, I'm vacationing to get away from the cold. But
yeah, well, welcome back next week because it's about 9 degrees. So you come to me through our mutual friend and my gal pal, Jennifer Weigel. We'll get to a little bit of that later in the show. But what a fascinating career. What a fascinating roller coaster ride you've had.
Yeah, so much I wrote a book. It's on Amazon called Escaping Hollywood Bardo. It has not been easy, but I don't think anybody's life is really easy. I when Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie broke up, I thought, you know, maybe now their life isn't easy. But, you know, I try not to compare myself to superstars. Yeah. The truth is I was born an artist. I was never going to stop. Yeah. And as any artist, which you are yourself, and I love that you're promoting Playing for Change, I've got to check that out because my dream is to make enough money that I can get music programs in every school in America first and then the world. Because
wow.
I think music changes everything.
No question.
And I think, yeah, and when you know you're an artist, you just really don't have an option. And so it's been a roller coaster, but I'm really proud of my work. A lot of people don't know about it, and that may change if I get the dream deal with Netflix, which is what I'm trying right now with American Abroad. But for those that do care to see my art, you know, on my website, marciakimpton.com, but really, A Bardo Blues was made out of passion, and that's on Amazon. So
let's start with Bardo Blues, because we do the whole how did you get from New York to Aspen thing and to LA and stuff. We'll get that'll work its way in. But I've watched a couple of interviews that you've done on different television shows and news shows and things like that. And this is an autobiographical kind of journey for you with the Bardo Blues. There's part of you in there, and there's part of other people in there. Explain a little bit more what that's all about.
And listen, that was very strange.
I got a ton of questions. Number one is why Thailand?
I love it. And I love Northern Thailand. I think it brings a mystical feeling, but I also like the neutrality of religion there. So Buddhism doesn't, so I believe in all religions, so Buddhism doesn't really make us go, oh, you're Christian or you're Jewish or you're Muslim.
Yeah.
There's something that's very peaceful. I love working with the Thai people, and honestly, I thought it'd be less expensive, and it turned out it wasn't. I mean, the food was really inexpensive, but I couldn't even eat that because of all the salt, and I was on camera. But yeah, everything else was pretty much like normal prices if you had done in LA. Also, I like the journey of when you're going and co-creating in a foreign country, people one, that are watching get to go to that country and explore places that maybe they hadn't gone, but also it does lend itself for something very magical on an artistic level, something mm-hmm. very different, and that's yeah. what I loved.
I was in, have you ever been to Trinidad?
No.
Oh, I've been My to Trinidad God. A few times and Tobago, and I've always thought, so Trinidad's like the populated island, right? And Tobago right. to me is like where Jurassic Park's going to happen. Because it's mountains and volcanoes and all that stuff. But going there and getting, you know, it's a four-hour flight from Miami, and you get across the ocean and you get in there. It's like literally a different energy there. Did you feel that when you went to Thailand? Was it an energetic thing too?
Yeah, yeah, and especially northern. So for those that have gone to Phuket, I'm telling you, go to northern Thailand. It's completely different. I mean, I now really believe in past lives. I don't know if I did before. And when I got there each time for the pre-production of doing the casting and locations, oh my God, I just felt the, you know, the Buddhism everywhere, but there was something in the soil. It just emanates peace and beauty, and the people are so kind. But I have an amazing story to tell you.
Sure.
You have to, in Thailand, like any foreign country, you have to hire a local producer who submits your script to the Thai Film Board and then get approved. Well, my Thai producer decides to quit while I'm on a cheap flight going to Thailand, going through Helsinki. Mm. And I'm like, what do you mean? Come to find, he's very similar to the character in the movie. He really was not mentally stable. And I start calling randomly anybody that's in the internet that says they're a Thai producer. Well, I don't know that I call the producer of The Hangover. But he hears my story that I'm stranded and I'm, you know, I'm doing a low budget film. Mm-hmm. I can't just from Helsinki go back to America. I've got to go there, get the locations and set up for casting. And so he meets me, and at this, you know, I was staying at a really nice hotel, so it looked like I had some money. He meets me and he hears my story about, you know, my budget and what I'm doing. He says to me, your budget for your film is what we get paid per day, which was $60,000. And so he said, but I will get you another person that's more affordable in northern Thailand. And sure enough, that person's now a close friend. But weirdly enough, every single thing that I had visualized in writing the screenplay, I ended up in one place. Only maybe once in a while we had to go to second place. It was right there before my eyes, and I'd only once been to Shanghai. So I thought that was pretty amazing sign that it was almost like the movie was unfolding before me, not knowing it would turn into be semi-autobiographical and a story that I was writing that happened in my life, which is strange.
Wow. So before that, has this always been part of your path? Were these connected dots? I mean, we all have them. I don't know if anybody recognizes them when they're in them. Sometimes you can only see them when you're out of them, but you were in it and you started to recognize it. Well, has this always been part of your life?
Yeah. I mean, I've always been deeply spiritual, but I will say that I think dealing with Hollywood and not having my dreams fully realized as a late night show and a big TV series, that I was forced to with the spiritual crisis. And now I only live my life by that. Everything is by a sign. Everything is by my higher self. Mm-hmm. And especially as a creative person,
yeah.
Sometimes you don't get inspired. But when you, like when I wanted these almond croissants here in St. Bart's and I became obsessed with them and then they weren't there and they sell out and I don't know any of this, right? Right. All I know is I show up the next day for the best croissant I've ever had in my entire life and they're not there. That becomes my comedy. I mean, it was a yeah. 5-day journey with these almond croissants and trying to get them. And so I find that, you know, everything is a sign and everything is, can I write that down and make it funny into yeah, a skit? Yeah. Or is this going to take me to the next place that I want to be and the next person I want to work with? And yeah, I can't even imagine not living that way. But I will say I had to, you know, go to the cross and back and the dark night of the soul to finally live that way. I wish I hadn't had to do it that way because I think we're always guided.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's, you know, I mean, Jim Carrey said, I don't want to go to dinner with anybody who hasn't had their ass kicked at least 6 times. You know, the same.
Never heard that.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that there comes a spiritual toughness and a maturity mm-hmm. with that stuff. It would be nice if it was, you know, flowing around the rocks all the time and the croissants just dropped out of the sky in your backyard and all that. But I think that at some point, You know, we need those things. And I think there's you know, wake-up calls and snooze buttons in our life every day. And we mm-hmm. need to pay attention to those wake-up calls because the snooze buttons kind of delay things. When you think about, I can't even imagine, quite frankly, just the conversation we had yesterday and the one we're having today and going over your stuff, what it must have been like to be in the, you know, the entertainment landfill of Los Angeles. I don't know how you survive in there with such a creative energy.
I didn't. Honestly, and coming from the Midwest, I mean, I'm just so proud to be a Midwesterner. I'm from Chicago, because
That's
the value
right.
system. Yeah, well, the value system is really unique. It is unique around the world, and we're really honest, good, trustworthy people. So when I went out there as a 22-year-old after Indiana University, and my parents had said I was a superstar, and I really had made a name for myself at our university, mm-hmm. I didn't expect to be lied and cheated and, you know, made passes
right.
at.
Right.
So it did destroy me, and I found myself smoking pot every day and really, really not happy. And as I said in another interview the other day, I was given the opportunity either to be a secretary or a production assistant. Now, that may be because you're getting out of college, but I was told because I was a woman. And when I finally got my late night show, God, 18 years later, I was told when I met every male executive in Hollywood, the world wasn't ready for a woman in late night, and that was 1998. And my show was off the air in 14 weeks locally in San Francisco. So the truth is, that's why I wrote a book, is to really inspire people to never give up on their dreams, because basically every single thing I have gone through, when I picked myself back up, I said, okay, I'm going to learn that skill. And I never thought, I always knew I wanted to be a performer and a late night host or be on TV that way. But I didn't know I would be able to conquer comedy. I didn't know I'd be able to produce, direct, and write. And it was all because I wasn't getting the opportunity. So I do agree with you that, you know, honestly, the silver lining's there. And my movie, Bardo Blues, really is about, are we going to choose heaven or hell? And when we're in depression, honestly, having suffered clinically, and my father did, and my brother did, you know what? It's almost impossible to get out. But I was lucky that I didn't, at that time, they didn't offer medication, and I did get myself out with yoga and meditation. And I can't say that I didn't self-medicate with alcohol and marijuana, but I did. And so what was interesting is that I was able to write the story about, what are we going to choose, heaven or hell? And I want to say, having had two brothers on medication, one that's not here today and another one that is, where it worked, that medication is an elixir with the brain, and it's very difficult. So, you know, your doctor and you have to decide how to get take that journey. But if you can find meditation and yoga, it always helps. And I think today, with how difficult things are for so many people, that if we don't become, honestly, the internal heaven, even in the midst of hell, we will not have this new earth. We have to do it. We're not given a choice. I think as a human being, you have to do that. But right now, with the state of affairs, I think we all have to figure this out, because it's trying times for a lot of people.
With the advent of all this great technology, it allows you and I to talk from Chicago to St. Bart's. And every time I've done any, I mean, 25 years in this business, I've seen the technology change so radically and dramatically. There's a lot of upside to it. There's also the downside, where when I started all those years ago, there was no such thing, for example, as satellite radio. I thought, who in the hell is going to pay to listen to radio? I was wrong on that one. But everybody's a phone, and all phones have apps, and apps keep, you know, buzzing all the time. And I think that our central nervous systems were not designed for this, number one. And number two, you know, if what I said before holds any water, what you focus on the longest really is what expands. If you watch all this stuff, you basically are creating your own PTSD over
Yes.
and over and over again. So finding ways to undo what's been done, I think, is the great struggle. It's not like, as George Bernard Shaw said, it's not about finding out who you are. It's creating who you are in the face of all that's going on. You are at heart a creator. You're someone who is constantly creating this material to remind people of the struggle and overcoming that. In all of that, how's that changed the Chicago girl through all of that, if at all?
Well, I don't think I have changed much.
Good.
Honestly, I think I'm still the same person, and still upbeat and happy and Love My Life. The difference is I've really, for the most part, found a peace within. You know, I'm still chasing after that croissant and, you know, battling, should I have a second glass or third glass of wine?
Right.
So I'm not totally in line. But I want to go back to one major thing that did happen to me that you talk about. I found out I'm really allergic to electricity. So I moved to New York back, you know, a few years ago, and I couldn't live there. I didn't know it was because of the electromagnetic field. And that's what got me to Aspen. And what I didn't understand is that there was a security system in the house that I bought, right, that was emanating so much electricity over my bed that I was in, I've always been insomniac, but this was serious. This is 2 years, right?
Wow.
So I got an EMF guy into my house. He not only said, turn off the power every single night, which I did from that point on, which is totally a pain. You know, everything resets.
Yes.
And then I got Stetzer filters. And they take all that electricity that's going on in your house, and it goes into the filter. Put that in every plug, and then he wanted me on a plastic keyboard and not on the computer. I couldn't do that. But then I turned on and off the Wi-Fi when I didn't need it because you're in that electrical field. Now, that is in Aspen, Colorado.
Wow.
Okay?
Wow.
So I am finding that I can't stay in certain hotels, and this is not because I don't want to. I stayed at this great hotel in Amsterdam, didn't sleep for 2 days. Because and I had to go down, and I said, do you have a smart grid? Oh, yeah, our 16th century, you know, canal house just got upgraded to smart grid 6 weeks ago. So now I'm in that situation where I have to say to people when you're listening, is the most important thing you can do is turn off your Wi-Fi. Do not have that phone in your room because it starts affecting your brain. And as a creative person, I could not write. I couldn't create. I was lucky that I had the money to go to Hawaii. Went to Hawaii, everything came out of me. St. Bart's, that's why I'm here. Mm. The sunshine, I just seem to write really well that way. Mm. But I think it's just so important today as we're electrical beings in this physical world that we realize that our phone and our computers and the Wi-Fi are literally zapping us from oxygen and making our brains go a little crazy. It's I can't remember what the second question was, but I just wanted to
Well, that first one was good enough.
Tell you that.
Yeah,
okay,
right.
Okay, good.
But and you're right. These electrical umbilical cords, we are connected. There's nowhere. I mean, you literally have to work to turn it off. I mean, I'm home all day and work from, I have my own studio and office and stuff. I never turn a TV on. I mean, I can't even energetically connect to that stuff because it just comes to nothing. But you mentioned about Amsterdam and sleeping. Tell me about an American abroad. First of all, I've watched some of this video. It's freaking hilarious.
Oh, thank you.
What are you up to?
Well, thank you. Well, American Abroad right now, you can't see the actual trailer of that one. Maybe I sent you one personally through the email because it's off to Netflix. And after 40 years of working in this business, I'm praying we need a lot more light and comedy. And it's a romantic comedy about a woman that has a travel reality show and she travels around the world. So we just went to Greece, Turkey, France, and Lisbon because we couldn't get into South Africa this summer and then South Africa in November. And I've got a 9-part series that I'm pitching right now. But what you were looking at, I think, unless I sent you that trailer, which, you know, if anybody's listening, you're supposed to be like, Netflix can only be the one to see it.
Right.
But you saw my American in Amsterdam quarantined. And what happened was right in 2019, I was trying to do a film called An American in Amsterdam, and of course we couldn't finish it because of COVID. And so I made it into a TV series, and I couldn't sell it anywhere because of COVID. I mean, it was so crazy because I wasn't famous, and it was a really good comedy. They just, no, we're out of production. We don't know what's going to happen with COVID, blah, blah, blah. And that's why you didn't have a lot of content. You were just looking at older movies.
Mm-hmm.
So basically I took all my work for the last 35 years and made it into a 5-part TV series and self-distributed it on Vimeo. And the only thing you have to do is go on, be a member, but the trailer is on my website. And I'm really proud of it. And it's this character, it's an extension of me, who basically was in TV and then gets a reality show out of Amsterdam. And she's not really happy doing reality TV, which is really the case with me. But I love, in real life, I really love people. And I love interviewing them, and I like going on the street. It's just that I don't like most reality shows. I think most of them are staged, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
They're just not my thing. But so I make a mockumentary about me and my life. And, you know, it's only $1.25 for a 25-minute show to, you know, make you laugh. And it's a five-part series.
I saw a clip. I'm not sure. So I went through a lot of your material. And you know, look.
Oh, thank you.
Well, it's important. Listen, I've written books. I work with other people. When somebody's a creator, to not spend time in their material to me would be dismissive, and especially when I'm doing the work. So I get that. But I was watching this one clip. You have to tell me where exactly it comes from. Where you and there's another woman at a bar, and there's a Dutch guy there.
Yeah.
Oh my God! And so the two of you are deciding how to make yourselves look younger, and you had this mouth thing in. Like a mouth muscle exerciser?
Yeah, it makes you exercise for your jowls.
I was on the floor. So you're doing that, and she's putting creams on, and she's talking. And here's this guy sitting over there working on his computer who's oblivious to the both of you. And it was so, and you're trying to have this conversation with this mouth thing, and I'm like, oh my gosh, so funny.
Yeah, I'm making fun of aging, which is, you know, the only thing you could do as you get older. Yeah, I love making that. That actually was shot not in Amsterdam, it was shot in Harlem. Because
it was
a little bit easier to control. Amsterdam is so busy. And we were able to get like this really, really cool wine bar. And believe it or not, I have moved from Aspen to Amsterdam. I just got my Dutch residence card.
Wow.
Because I loved working with the Dutch so much. It was just, it was so fun. They're really wonderful people, and I love riding my bike everywhere. Actually, it reminds me of going up north of Chicago in Glenview and Wilmette. I used to ride my bike everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the idea, you know, my daughter's older now, so I can travel throughout Europe very easily until they made all these restrictions, of course. But it's really been, I've only lived there for about 6 months, and actually, I couldn't handle the winter. Having grown up in Chicago,
wow,
it was like, oh my God, I'm back to Chicago winter. So that's why I'm in the same parts.
That's so funny. I went looked at the Amazon page for Escaping the Hollywood Bardo, and
which you're going to do the audio book.
Well,
for
it's starting to look that way. I'm not going to read it though. You are.
Oh God, that seems like such a challenge. I mean, I like challenges, but that's tough. That's
hey,
tough,
listen.
But
this
I'm
is
excited.
Why the this is why the voiceover people, you know, get some serious cash. I've done some stuff for the History Channel, A&E, and all things like that, and it's a very different than radio where I can like this. We're just freeforming and
right.
I work on it afterwards. But that is scripted, and you got a director in your ear. It's very, very different. But I'll put you through the ringer, sister. Don't worry about it.
Well, Jen Weigel inspired me. She's got 4 on Audible.
Oh, I know.
She said so many people find her book on Audible, and she's so funny, and I just love her writing.
Yeah, as do I. And, you know, there's something about the human voice. There's something about bringing your words off paper into people's lives that is a very, very, very different energy. But
I have to relive it, John. I keep on wanting to call you Say John. I know I have to relive it, and, you know, I feel really good today, but it has not been an easy journey. I don't think anybody's life is an easy journey, and that's what, you know, it's about making lemonade out of lemons, but the truth is, I don't really like remembering when you're just getting rejected over and over in Hollywood, and in the end, you can't reject yourself, so finally realize that that's probably, you know, my biggest advice to everybody is just keep on at it as an artist. Don't ever give up.
There's no question that you have to, at least in my opinion, in this, you know, radio's, it's got its own oddities and strange twists and turns. And, you know, I worked with Oprah for 4 years and the pinnacle of the, you know, entertainment business at the time. And then I've done, you know, when I started, there were 3 people listening and not 3 million. So it's all, you know, it comes and goes in waves. And I've always decided that, you know, I'm doing this because this is what I'm supposed to do, much like you. Whoever listens, wherever it goes, I can't really control much of that. So I try to keep it all in-house as best I can. But this, I just want to jump back to this depression thing real quick and the concept of, you know, what's going on in the world. And you are able to physically get away and go different places. What do you say to people besides turning all the electricity off in their house if they can't get away? What do you say to folks who are in difficulty like that?
Well, I really have to say, if you cannot even do a 5-minute meditation, which there's plenty of apps out there, go put on, I'm serious, even if you're Jewish, the mystical chants, the Gregorian mystical chants.
Even or if you're Jewish, you could do it? Okay.
Yeah, or you can listen to Dalai Lama's healing chant. The biggest thing that got me through my difficult times was putting on, I mean, I think they call it 420 hertz, this incredible mystical music, or like I said, the Dalai Lama healing chant. If you put that on when you're having a difficult moment, you immediately feel different. So you have to do meditation. I am a full-on yogi. I want yoga 5 days a week, because if I don't, Bikram saved my life. Bikram yoga, it got me out of my depression. The hot sweating, and it's not for a lot of people, but if you want to get out of depression, just go to Bikram every day and you'll be out of depression within 30 days. And it won't come back.
Sweat it right out.
Well, the thing is, depression is a mental thing, but ultimately there are chemicals in your bodies that are imbalanced. So what happened was, it was so bad after my divorce in San Francisco that I just kept on going to Bikram, and eventually I literally got myself out of depression through hot yoga, because basically the chemicals kept on going through, and then you would realize at the end of the day, when you would have too much wine, you'd get depressed because you think it's relieving you. In the beginning, it feels like it is, and ultimately it made you worse. So it basically, you couldn't get up for hot yoga the next morning because you felt so bad, or you pushed yourself. So basically, hot yoga for me was my savior. But I did find a meditation teacher. I started going to retreats, and meditation and yoga is part of my practice. I do pray for the world every day, and I think that when you're praying for something outside of yourself and you have gratitude, it does eventually take a different state of mind. I don't know. I really, again, believe depression is a chemical thing. And I don't know if it has something to do with karma, but I think it has something to do with getting your emotional traumas done and released out of your childhood. And you're predisposed. I mean, my dad had it, and my brother had it. Mm-hmm. Very serious. And my sister had it. So they're right now, at these difficult times, depression or not, sadness is a different feeling. You could be very sad today as you're listening to this and not want to be sad, and that feels pretty bad. I say go find those Gregorian chants or Dalai Lama healing chant. Put it on immediately. Sit down. If you believe in God, you ask God to relieve it, and you do a prayer for this world, and you get into hot yoga and start meditating if you can. Because this 100% was my journey. And I had depression. I didn't know that I had depression. I didn't know that people didn't live with this kind of sadness, because I was always upbeat when anybody would see me and my eyes sparkled. But deep down inside, I think I was pretty sad a lot of my life until about, 45. And I didn't know that I was always going in and out of depression. I just think, oh, today's a good day, right? Mm-hmm. And then tomorrow's a bad day. And now I live almost happy every single day. And if I catch myself, like if I'll drink too much 3 days in a row, I immediately stop because I know it's heading towards a depression. Hmm. Because I know it'll chemically do it. So I can't say enough about having, even if it's 20, 30 minutes practice of self-love and doing it. And you will see in 30 days that things will lift. And I think it's just so hard for so many people. So I hope that helps.
It definitely does help. And first of all, I don't think I have any sad listeners. I get some pissed off listeners. But I've never had anybody sad yet. Maybe they just don't want to tell me.
They may not be telling you.
Yeah, they're probably sad.
Say John. I'm calling you Say John.
They're coming across as pissed off, not sad. That's how it works. But okay. But there's an alternative and an option for people listening in the greater or lesser Chicagoland area. Remember growing up here in the greater Chicagoland area.
I know.
What about greater. The lesser Chicagoland area? Anyway, next Tuesday, you're going to be at Madame Zuzu's. That's Billy Corrigan, founder of the Grammy award-winning band The Smashing Pumpkins, and fashion designer Chloe Mendel's place up in Highland Park. You're going to be doing this event with the aforementioned Jennifer Weigel. She's going to be kind of hosting it and tossing some questions to you, and you're going to be kind of kicking the back. It's kind of a intimate conversation.
Yeah, and we're going to show some of the shows from the Vimeo TV series, and I'll talk about, again, what I'm trying to do with American Abroad. So if you're an artist, definitely come. But I think if you're not an artist, come for inspiration. Come for, you know, feeling like things are going to get better because you're never going to give up. And I was trying to get my book, I just hand them out free. So mm-hmm. I ordered 30. I think the max, we're halfway sold out right now.
There's oh, good.
50 tickets. So, but I was buying 30 books. Well, because I'm not famous and not known, Amazon's decided it's going to take their time, 5 weeks to, you know, get my book out. Yeah. I was like, you know what? Maybe, why is it that everybody, when you're famous, like it will be tomorrow? I mean, it's just so insane. I've got a really great story to say.
And the tickets at Madame Zouza's are only $10.
Yeah,
to get in the door.
Just have fun. And maybe you don't want to drive, but if you do drive to Highland Park, it is worth it. We will be a blast. Jen is such a funny woman, and we used to do this podcast called The Climb, and we may go back at it. But it was pretty exciting, the two of us working together, and so you'll have a great time no matter what, and you'll feel good by the end if you don't feel good.
Are you going to have that mouth exerciser in?
No, it broke.
Oh, it broke.
But I do these facial exercises that Carol Maggio, actually, she developed them, and they do work. And they help you with your jaw, and you don't look as old because,
so
you know, Hollywood, you know, I'm trying not to age and not inject myself like everybody.
I'm telling you, I'm watching this, not know what's happening. It's just, it's maybe a, I don't know, 3 minutes at the most, 3.5, whatever it is, the clip, and I'm watching you two and going through all these emaciations, and this guy is so oblivious. He doesn't even know you're there. And
yeah, but we made this funny that you said it. He ends up being my boyfriend.
Oh, I didn't see that part.
Yeah, well, you have to see the whole series, is so wild that you mentioned that he wasn't looking. We intentionally did that, do that. And then we intentionally filled up the wine with grape juice.
So funny.
And the waitress is literally not an actress going, I have to do it again. I have to do it again.
Before I cut you loose, you've had such an incredible roller coaster-like existence professionally, personally, and all that in between. Is there like an aha that comes to you on occasion where you're like, well, this is, we pull that stuff aside and you distill it all down. This is really what it's all about for you. What would that be?
Well, I said it earlier, never give up. I think that tenacity and hard work eventually does really pay off. And obviously a practice, you know, a spiritual practice really does keep you happy and grateful. But I when I think about the most profound thing that I've probably learned in the last 10 years that is helping me the most is that if I get triggered, right, and I'm not coming from unconditional love, and I really tried that with customer service because there is none anymore, right? So that's like my ultimate test, and I put that in my comedy.
Oh my
okay,
God.
There's a skit that I tested myself with customer service because there is none. but if I get triggered, the thing that is different than what I used to be most of my life is I would emotionally react, and it would affect me, and I would go up, down, up, down. Now, the first thing I say, I take a pause and I just say, okay, where can I come from unconditional love with whoever I'm dealing with, right? And myself, which because I'm so damn frustrated right now or so damn upset. And then after the incident, I try to remember what was it in my childhood that happened that made me repeat this situation where it wasn't peaceful, because I live in a lot of peace now. And I will find there are three themes in my life. I was abandoned because, you know, of divorce, right? A lot of people have dealt with divorce, so I picked men that abandoned me, right? I was powerless because I picked an industry that basically made me powerless, so there was something that happened as a young child. And I wasn't seen or heard fully. So of course I pick an industry of communication, right? Because that's what I love, to be seen and heard. And it's interesting, those are the three themes. I think everybody in their life has three themes that constantly become trigger points. And if you can become aware of that, just alone, take a deep breath, not throw your garbage or your throw up on people, and be loving to the next person and loving to yourself and become aware that this is an old wound that needs to be healed. My God, that's the thing that has changed my life and brought me more peace and happiness than anything.
My thanks to Marcia Kimpton for spending time with me all the way from St. Bart's and all of you, wherever you're listening in the world. I really like that takeaway of those three things. You know, what are the three things in our lives that we're always circling around? You know, I can point to things in my life that are constantly in motion. I hit a certain tripod or one of the legs of the tripod as a metaphor, and I know that I'm in the right direction or not. And if I'm in the right direction, I usually don't see it for a while. But if I'm not in the right direction, it starts to show up all the time, and you got to really pay attention to that stuff. So fascinating conversation, fascinating lady. You can find her books at Amazon.com, as I said, Escaping the Hollywood Bardo. Fascinating read, great stuff, no matter who you are. You don't have to be in the entertainment business to extract the lessons of that, for sure. I mentioned she is going to be March 1st, Tuesday, up in Highland Park with friend Jennifer Weigel doing a show up there at Madame Zuzu's, Billy Corgan's place. And you can easily get tickets to that at MadameZuzus.com. It's MadameZuzus.com. And just click on upcoming events. And it's an intimate conversation with Hope advocate and filmmaker Marcia Kimpton, hosted by Spiritual Social Club's Jen Weigel. And there'll also be a special pilot screening of a Marcia's TV series, which is frickin' hilarious, called An American in Amsterdam. And there'll be a Q&A after that. Tickets are only 10 bucks, as I said. Available at MadameZuzus.com. Until next time, safe travels. Keep the faith. Thanks for listening. Adios.